May the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. At the end of the service, we'll be singing, O Come All Ye Faithful. We'll be proclaiming our faith in the Incarnation, God of God, Light of Light, lo, he abhors not the Virgin's womb, very God, begotten, not created. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. This is a hymn which is clearly derived from taking up themes from our Gospel reading. And we've heard again the well-known Christmas reading from the Gospel of St. John. It's well known and well loved, but also mysterious, even perplexing. It's more like poetry, I think, than it is like simple prose. It's very compressed. Managed to pack a great deal of meaning into those words. And each verse is really worth studying in some detail. We could spend a long time, perhaps the whole night we could spend, going through it verse by verse, comparing different translations, getting out the Greek dictionary, trying to sort out exactly what it meant when it was first written, and perhaps more importantly, what it might mean to us today. But I thought it was best this time of night just to reflect briefly on three of the verses. We begin with the beginning, from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, in the beginning is picking up the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of the book of Genesis, the story of the creation. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So he said a word. He said, let there be light. And that was the creative word of God. And the word of God was giving purpose to the world. It was a creative world expressing God's purpose and its meaning. It tells us that we live in a world that has meaning, a world, if you like, that makes sense. The world is not, as some of people suppose, as perhaps we all suppose sometimes, that the world is pointless, senseless, meaningless, full of sound and fury, but meaning nothing. Well, the Greek word logos, this is where I get out my dictionary, the Greek word logos, which is translated in English as word, can actually mean a lot of different things. But one of its meaning is reason. Reason. So what this passage is saying, in the beginning was the word, means that from the beginning there was a reason for the world, and the reason was God's plan. The meaning of life is something not revealed to us by science. I think we all, at some time perhaps in our lives, want to know what it's all about, what it's for, what is the meaning of life. Well, we can study science, but it won't give us the meaning of life. The meaning of life is something which is revealed to us by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, which is speaking to us into our hearts, opening our minds, but also directing our emotions. It's to do with our feelings about the world as much as it's to do with our minds. And if we're to be receptive to the revelation, we'll find that this message from God still rings true. It makes sense for us. Indeed, it answers the most pressing questions that we could ever ask. The meaning of life has been revealed in many ways. As it said in our second reading, God spoke through the prophets. In the past, he spoke through prophets. And the prophets said, hear the word of the Lord. So word can mean the voice of God speaking through the prophets. they were preparing the way for a full revelation of God, which comes only in Christ himself. So that was verse 1. Let me come to the verse which is perhaps contains the whole message of Christmas, from verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, Jesus was not just another of the prophets. As again, it's said in that reading from the Hebrews, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. And the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. These are incredible words, if you think about them, that in this human life was the exact representation of God's being. God has come to us in person. So God is not remote from us, hidden in the clouds. He is here amongst us. God the Son has taken on the form and substance of a human life. This tells us something very important about God. It tells us that God is loving, merciful, and kind, and that he comes amongst us in great humility. This is a story of the humility of God. He's come to share our common life with all its pleasures and its pains. But it also, this tells us something very important about ourselves as human beings, something which we might not otherwise realise. We are, as human beings, unique amongst all God's creatures because we are made in God's image. It tells us that right back in the book of Genesis. We are made in the image of God, so in some sense, we are like him. And that is an incredible thing to say about ourselves as human beings. Now, of course, that image gets obscured. It's obscured all the time and distorted by our sins. But through God coming amongst us as a human being, we can learn what we know about ourselves from the incarnation of God. A human life could be, a true and perfect image and representation of God. So what a privilege, but also what a responsibility it is to be a human being. Yes, we all bear the image of God. We bear that image in our weakness as well as in our strength. Just think of a newborn baby, as we all are at this time. Think about a newborn baby. Well, an infant has no great strength or wisdom, yet the smallest newborn child is in the image of God. And so the Son of God could become the son of Mary, a tiny child lying in a manger. At Christmas, we contemplate the baby Jesus in his mother's arms, giving and receiving human love. And we meditate on the paradox of strength in weakness, the rich majesty of the humble poor. Well, the weakness of God in Jesus in the manger prefigures the weakness of Jesus on the cross. And as we are here now to celebrate his birth at Christmas, we're also here to remember Good Friday, when he died. So he came down from heaven for us and our salvation, and we are here to receive him in Holy Communion. If all that had been needed was some more teaching, then God could have just sent another prophet. If all that was needed was some work of healing, he could have sent someone else who could do miracles. But what was needed was something much greater than that. What was needed was reconciliation between us and God. We needed someone who could take the burden of our sins from us. So Jesus is not only the Word of God and the Son of God, he is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And finally, what does this mean for us as Christians? Turning to verse 12. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we are indeed gathered here as children of God. We've been born again, it tells us. We've been born again into the fellowship of Christ. We have the parentage of God. We are children of God. And like Jesus, we are born not of natural descent, but of God. So we are like brothers and sisters of the infant Christ, whose birth we celebrate now. Well, there's so much we can gather from our gospel reading. The world was made for a good reason. The purpose is embodied in a human life. And we're at the centre of God's plan, invited to share in its fulfilment. The hymns we sing tell it all. And we'll be singing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And as we do that, we're proclaiming our faith in the Incarnation. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. As we sing these splendid words, we might reflect on this, on what the meaning of this for us. We might thank God for the gift of grace and truth we have received, and for all that we celebrate on Christmas Day.